Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, October 16th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
President Trump and Joe Biden clash in dueling town halls.
The White House prepares to pressure Republicans on a stimulus bill.
Coronavirus infections surge in the Midwest.
And European regulators approve a Boeing 737 MAX to return to the skies.
Jewish leaders call COVID rules in New York State blatantly anti-Semitic. Plus, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says he was wrong not to wear a mask at the White House. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Le'Veon Bell released by the Jets, signed with Kansas City. Baseball playoff wins for Houston and Atlanta.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good Friday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are higher this morning as we head into the final trading day of the week. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 3 points. Dow futures are little changed, and NASDAQ futures are up 33. The DAX in Germany up 0.6%. The CAC in Paris up 1.4%. And the FTSE 100 up 1.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.4%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong jumped 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 0.72%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 20 cents at $40.76 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $4.80 at $19.13.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.1705 against the dollar. The yen, 105.24. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with last night's dueling town halls between President Trump and Democratic nominee Joe Biden. On NBC, the president sparred with moderator Savannah Guthrie on issues ranging from his personal finances to conspiracy theories and, of course, the pandemic. President Trump continued defending his toned-down rhetoric at the start of the outbreak.
I don't want to go out and say everybody's going to die. Everybody's
Isn't there a middle ground? You don't have to mislead, but you can...
No, there's not a middle ground. You have to be safe, you have to be vigilant, and you have to be smart.
Guthrie also pressed the president on a New York Times report detailing his finances, including hundreds of millions of dollars in debt.
Are you confirming that, yes, you do owe some $400 million?
What I'm saying is that it's a tiny percentage of my net worth.
The president appeared to confirm about $400 million in debt, but said it's, quote, not a big deal. He was also questioned about support from QAnon, a far-right conspiracy theory that claims Satan-worshipping pedophiles are plotting against the president.
I just don't know about QAnon.
You do know.
I don't know. No, I don't know. What I do hear about it is they are very strongly against pedophilia, and I agree with that.
The president also defended a tweet of a separate conspiracy theory which claims SEAL Team 6 didn't kill Osama bin Laden and instead killed a body double.
Over on ABC, former Vice President Joe Biden attacked the president's response to the pandemic and his stance on protective face coverings.
The words of a president matter.
Absolutely.
No matter whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, they matter. And when a president doesn't wear a mask or makes fun of folks like me when I was wearing a mask for a long time, then, you know, people say, well, it mustn't be that important.
Biden also broached the issue of race, offering a message of unity in the wake of unrest across the country.
We're a diverse country. And unless we are able to treat people equally, we're just never going to meet our potential. But I think the American people want to see that happen. I think they're ready to see it happen. And I tell you one thing, if I'm elected president, you will not hear me race baiting. You'll not hear me dividing. You'll hear me trying to unify.
Biden was also pressed on the prospect of packing the Supreme Court. The former vice president said he's not a fan of expanding the number of justices, but left the door open for doing so.
It depends on how this turns out, not how he wins, but how it's handled, But there's a number of things that are going to be coming up, and there's going to be a lot of discussion about other alternatives as well.
Joe Biden says he will make his stance on the Supreme Court clear before the election next month.
Meantime, in other news, a passenger on the Democratic presidential nominee's campaign plane has tested positive for COVID-19. Biden's campaign manager says an employee for the aviation charter company the campaign uses sat more than 50 feet from the former vice president. Both Biden and the person in question were wearing masks.
Back in Washington, it looks like President Trump may get more involved in the ongoing stimulus talks. We get the very latest live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John, good morning.
And Karen, the president would personally lobby reluctant Senate Republicans to get behind any stimulus deal. That's what Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin told House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. A Treasury official confirmed the call. President Trump says he's willing to go beyond the $1.8 trillion offer, but Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has rejected that. Speaker Pelosi tells Democrats a key priority in negotiations has been resolved, but now the president faces opposition from his own party. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. As negotiations on stimulus drag on, the coronavirus is spreading in the Midwest. Wisconsin, Illinois, Ohio, and Michigan are all seeing big jumps in cases. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers says his state is reaching a crucial moment.
We're at a critical point in the battle against this virus. We've had many record-setting days recently for hospitalizations, new cases, and COVID-19 deaths.
The latest tally shows daily U.S. infections reaching nearly 60,000. The seven-day average of 52,000 is now at the highest level in more than 2 months.
Turning to corporate news now, shares of Boeing are up more than 2%. That's after Europe's top aviation regulator said he's satisfied with safety changes to the 737 MAX, and the plane may return to the skies this year. We get more from Bloomberg aviation reporter Siddharth Philip.
The fixes that Boeing's been working on since the plane was grounded have been reviewed. They were conducted in test flights across America. And essentially, the fixes are deemed to be good enough for the plane to return back into safety.
The 737 MAX has been grounded for 18 months following two fatal accidents just months apart.
Now, some stocks moving in Europe to tell you about this morning. Shares of LVMH are up 6.5%. The owner of Louis Vuitton enjoyed an unexpected rebound in the third quarter. Daimler shares are up about 4%. The parent company of Mercedes-Benz posted better than expected profit. And ThyssenKrupp shares are up 15%. That's after Liberty Steel offered to buy the German company's steel unit. S&P futures are up 3 points right now. Dow futures up 1 point. NASDAQ futures are higher by 32 points. And the 10-year Treasury yield is at 0.72%. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. At 5:07 on Wall Street, we bring in Michael Barr for a check of what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Three Rockland County Jewish congregations are suing New York State and Governor Andrew Cuomo. The lawsuit filed in Manhattan federal court accuses Cuomo of engaging in a streak of anti-Semitic discrimination with the recent crackdown on religious gatherings to reduce the state's coronavirus infection rate. Cuomo spoke earlier during a teleconference call about the virus red zones.
Very few of the outbreaks that we have had in New York, the clusters that we talk about in New York, would have happened had we had compliance and had we had enforcement.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio.
We are just flooding the zone with testing. We're saying to everyone, whoever you are, wherever you are, get tested, particularly in these zones, but well beyond the whole city, get tested. Certainly, if you haven't been tested in a while or you've never been tested, get tested.
Meanwhile, de Blasio and Cuomo are clashing again. De Blasio says he is used to the bluster from Albany a day after Cuomo threatened to withhold funding from schools and local governments for not following coronavirus restrictions. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who was hospitalized for COVID-19, says he was wrong not to wear a mask when he visited the White House. He urged people to take steps to prevent infection. The American Bar Association reaffirmed their support for Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. Pamela Roberts with the ABA appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday.
Judge Barrett had demonstrated professional competence to exceptional and sufficiently outstanding to be rated well qualified.
In other testimony before the committee, the president of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law suggested that Barrett's interpretation of the Constitution is outdated. It may impact the rights of minorities, women, and the LGBTQ community. Kristen Clark is the president of the group.
Judge Barrett's strict adherence to originalism and textualism stands to turn our country back decades.
The chairman of Citigroup plans to run for mayor of New York. Ray McGuire would join a growing Democratic field to replace Bill de Blasio. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Good morning, John Stasher.
All right, good morning, Nathan. You had to like the Dodgers' chances of tying up the National League Championship Series. They had three-time Cy Young winner Clayton Kershaw on the mound. Atlanta had 22-year-old Bryce Wilson, who had made only 7 big league starts, none in the postseason. Yet the Dodgers, the night after scoring 15 runs, 11 in the first inning, managed only one hit in 6 innings off Wilson. The Braves scored 9 times in their last 3 at-bats. They won game 5, 10-2. They lead the series 3-1. They can win their first pennant in 21 years tonight. Tampa Bay's had 2 chances to win the ALCS. Game 5 with Houston began with the Astros' George Springer hitting the first pitch for a home run, and then came the last pitch.
Pitch on the way, and Correa hits it in the air, pretty deep to center, sends back Kiermaier at full, see you later, and see you tomorrow. The Houston Astros win it at the bottom of the ninth on Correa's walk-off homer, 4-3, and there will be a game 6.
Correa's 6th home run of this postseason. Astros radio the call. Houston just the 4th team to force even a game 6. When once down 3-0, the Mets did it to Atlanta in 1999. Of course, the Red Sox came all the way back versus the Yankees in 2004. Worked out nicely for Le'Veon Bell. He goes from the NFL's worst team to defending Super Bowl champs. Released by the Jets, Bell signed with Kansas City. Tyronn Lue coached Cleveland to the NBA championship 4 years ago, is the new coach of the Clippers. He had been Doc Rivers' assistant in L.A. Rivers now in Philadelphia. After 13 years in Houston, Daryl Morey resigned as the general manager of the Rockets. John Stasiewicz, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. And join us tomorrow for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. As coronavirus restrictions continue on brick-and-mortar gyms, people are turning to the home fitness craze. We'll talk about it with someone who's right at the center. NEOU co-founder and CEO Nate Forster joins Bloomberg Business of Sports tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, where you can listen anytime by downloading the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. S&P futures up 2 points now. Dow futures down 5. NASDAQ futures up 34 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe are gaining as a slew of positive corporate news outweighed investor concern about new restrictions to curb the pandemic. U.S. stock index futures are little change as investors consider the stalemate over U.S. stimulus. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 2 points. Dow futures down 6. NASDAQ futures up 29. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.72%, and the yield in the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.75% or 31 cents at $40.65 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $5.10 at $19.14 an ounce. The euro 1.1707 against the dollar, British pound 1.2932, and the yen 105.25. Today we are watching for a report on September retail sales at 8:30 Wall Street time. Industrial production and capacity utilization are out at 9:15, and consumer sentiment is out at 10. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Donald Trump and Democrat Joe Biden showed striking differences in temperament, views on racial justice, and approaches to the pandemic that has reshaped the nation in dueling televised town halls. They squared off as their scuttled second debate replaced by the separate events. Trump was defensive about his administration's handling of the coronavirus and evasive when pressed about whether he took a required COVID-19 test before his first debate with Biden. Trump refused to denounce the QAnon conspiracy group and only testily did so regarding white supremacists. Biden, for his part, denounced the White House's handling of the virus. In the baseball playoffs, the Astros and Braves are winners. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak on the morning after parallel town hall events, rather than a debate for the presidential candidates. For more, we're joined this morning by Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. So, Greg, I think it's safe to say at this point in the campaign, voters know what they're going to get from both candidates. So did these dueling town halls do anything to shake up a race that's already underway in most states?
I don't think so, Nathan. Good morning. I think that Biden simply needed to avoid making mistakes, and he didn't. So he's still the front runner.
What about President Trump? I mean, we've talked all this time about how he needs to appeal more to suburban voters. He's obviously behind in opinion polls nationwide among likely voters. Did he do anything last night to try to add a spark to his campaign?
Well, he was assertive. You have to wonder if suburban women, that key constituency, thought he was too assertive with Samantha Guthrie. He rehashed a lot of things that are factually dubious. I think he's going to lose the fact-checker debate this morning in the media. But no, I mean, he didn't have a knockout punch, and we're getting to the point where he needs a knockout punch.
What does he have to do to sort of give that knockout punch? I mean, obviously, his approach all this time, I think it can be argued throughout his presidency, has been to be aggressive, to fight back against criticism. What does he do to sort of shake that up, or can he at this point?
It's a long shot. I think going after Biden's mental acuity has not gotten Trump much traction. Maybe he'll make a big deal out of the Bidens in Ukraine. But I think the one area where Trump still has an opening is to go after Biden's agenda, which has moved to the left, which relies heavily on big new tax increases. I think if Trump emphasizes the tax angle, he could regain a couple of points. But I don't think that's enough.
Now let's turn to Biden's performance at his town hall last night. You said he did no harm. What else stood out for you in terms of Biden's approach to events like this?
Well, he was a little unclear on a couple of issues. One, of course, is whether he would pack the Supreme Court. Another is his record on crime bills that have aggravated a lot of African Americans. So there are some things you could pick at. But in terms of some big glaring mistake, I didn't see it.
What about how he addressed the handling of the economy? For all this time, up until recently, that had been the big selling point for President Trump in this campaign. Biden's arguing that we're in a K-shaped recovery as opposed to the V-shaped recovery that the White House is arguing. How does that resonate?
Well, that's one of the many surprises we've seen in the last couple of weeks, the fact that Trump's advantage on the economy has faded. You know, there are two or three other big surprises. One is the sharp move by seniors toward Biden. I hadn't expected that to be quite as dramatic. So there will be a few other wild cards, I'm sure. We've got 2.5 weeks to go, and I am quite confident there will be another bombshell, or, as we all say, another October surprise.
There have been so many of those all this month. You kind of wonder whether we might face some kind of voter fatigue when it comes to the number of October surprises we've had all this time, Greg.
Yeah, good point, Nathan. And I would say that for maybe 94-95% of Americans, I think everyone's made up their minds. There's very few undecided voters who are going to be moved to one candidate or another at this stage.
And that would bring us to the third debate coming up a week from yesterday. It'll be the final moment, I think, for the candidates to make some kind of shakeup in this race. How does this dueling town hall format potentially alter the approach heading into this third debate?
Well, it could. I mean, again, Trump is going to need a really dramatically improved performance in this final debate next week. You know, one other thing I didn't mention, the biggest surprise of all to me in the last 3 or 4 weeks is that Biden has far more money. The Trump fundraising efforts have not gone well. And in TV ads around the country, Biden's at like 2-to-1 to ads for Trump. That's a big surprise.
In our last 30 seconds here, with the kind of huge cash haul that Biden has, what is he setting up for at this point, you know, so close to Election Day?
I think he can't get cocky, but I think the Democrats are thinking their chances of taking the Senate are pretty good. And if Biden has a good night and wins comfortably, a lot of states could flip, not just the usual suspects, but even states like Iowa, South Carolina, Alaska, Montana. If Biden gets the Senate with maybe a 2 or 3 seat Democratic advantage, that would really make things easier for him in 2021.
Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. Thanks again for being with us early. Always appreciate having you on Bloomberg Daybreak. S&P futures, little change now. Dow futures down 22 points. NASDAQ futures higher by 16. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's brought to you by the New York Community Trust. You can leave a charitable bequest to the New York Community Trust that's built to have a lasting impact to ignite your charitable legacy today. Learn more at give2.nyc.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Last night featured dueling town halls from President Trump and Democratic nominee Joe Biden. On NBC, the president sparred with moderator Savannah Guthrie on issues ranging from his personal finances to conspiracy theories and the pandemic, including the effectiveness of protective masks.
I'm good with masks. I'm okay with masks. I tell people wear masks. But just the other day, they came out with a statement that 85% of the people that wear masks catch it.
Well,
so, you know, this is a very
tricky. I know that study.
Well, that's what I heard and that's what I saw.
Meantime, on ABC, Joe Biden continued his attack on the president's response to the pandemic.
He missed enormous opportunities and kept saying things that weren't true. It's going to go away by Easter. Don't worry about it. It's going to all, when the summer comes, it's all going to go away like a miracle. He's still saying those things.
When it comes to the Supreme Court, Biden said he's not a fan of packing the court, but left the door open to it. President Trump appeared to confirm a New York Times report detailing about $400 million in debt, but said it's, quote, not a big deal.
More in those town halls coming up, but first, the latest on stimulus talks. We're seeing signs that President Trump may get more involved in the ongoing negotiations. That's if Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi can reach a deal. We get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Yeah, Karen, President Trump has repeatedly blamed Pelosi for standing in the way of an agreement, yet it's Senate Republicans he seems focused on now. It's unclear how much he can pressure them. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the president wants a much larger bill than he can sell to GOP lawmakers. Speaker Pelosi tells Democrats a key priority in the negotiations has been resolved, but now the president faces opposition from his own party. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Shares of Boeing are up about 2.5% in early trading. Europe's top aviation regulator says Boeing's revamped 737 MAX is safe to fly. The jet's been grounded for 18 months after two deadly accidents.
And in the UK, Boris Johnson is set to decide whether to abandon trade talks with the EU. That's after the bloc refused to give the prime minister the clear signal he wants to remain at the negotiating table. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. S&P futures are little change this morning, down a point. Dow futures down 23. NASDAQ futures up 11. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. And the euro 1.1713 against the dollar. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much. Instead of debate night, it was dueling town halls night. President Donald Trump and Democrat Joe Biden showed striking differences in temperament, views on racial justice, and approaches to the pandemic. Trump defended his administration's handling of the coronavirus. He was evasive when NBC's Savannah Guthrie pressed him about whether he took a required COVID-19 test before his first debate with Biden. Trump refused to denounce the QAnon conspiracy group and asked for white supremacists.
You always start off with a question. You didn't ask Joe Biden whether or not he denounces Antifa. I watched him on the same basic show with Lester Holt. And he was asking questions like Biden was a child.
Well, so this is a little bit of a dodge.
Are you listening? I denounce white supremacy.
Biden on ABC denounced President Trump's handling of the virus. He also discussed his support of the 1994 Clinton-Biden crime bill, saying it may have worked in some places but failed in others.
An awful lot of people were jailed for minor drug crimes after the
exactly
crime.
Right.
Was it a mistake to support it?
Yes, it was.
Biden said his pledge to repeal 2017 tax cuts would only apply to the wealthy and that he would leave the middle class cuts untouched. Russia reportedly targeted President Trump's personal lawyer. U.S. intelligence officials warned the White House last year that Rudy Giuliani was being targeted by Russian influencers to feed misinformation to the president. That's according to current and former administration officials with knowledge of the briefing. The information, in part, was related to Giuliani's trips and contacts in Ukraine. The Washington Post first reported that the group warning the White House included Attorney General William Barr and FBI Director Christopher Wray. Jewish leaders have filed a lawsuit against New York State and Governor Andrew Cuomo. Three Rockland County Jewish congregations say Cuomo engaged in a streak of anti-Semitic discrimination with a recent crackdown on religious gatherings to reduce the state's coronavirus infection rate. Governor Cuomo spoke earlier about the red zones in a teleconference.
If you look at where the outbreaks are coming from, they are situations where there was a lack of compliance, and a lack of compliance matched with a lack of enforcement.
Cuomo, who has said he has respect and love for the Orthodox community, told reporters that he was not targeting Orthodox Jewish communities. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Here's John Stashow.
All right, Nathan, the Houston Astros halfway to doing something only one team has ever done. Red Sox beat the Yankees after trailing 3-0. Unlike 2004 when the Sox had those two dramatic wins in Boston and then two in New York, the Astros staying right in San Diego where they've had a pair now of 4-3 victories over Tampa Bay. Game 5 coming on a Carlos Correa walk-off home run in the ninth inning. The Rays still lead the series 3-2 with Game 6 tonight. And Game 5 in the NLCS, which is now 3-1 Atlanta. The Braves are 8-1 in the postseason, coming off the 15-3 loss to the Dodgers in Game 4. They came back and won last night 10-2. Marcell Ozuna hit two home runs, had four hits, four RBIs. Le'Veon Bell began the week with the 0-5 Jets and ended it with defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City. Signed just for this season, he will not play Monday night against Buffalo, but Bell has November 12th circled. The Chiefs play the Jets, who just released him. Latest NFL team with a positive COVID test, the Atlanta Falcons. It's not a player, but a member of the organization. They shut down the facility yesterday. Odell Beckham left Cleveland Browns practice feeling ill. They now await results of a COVID test. The Browns have a big game Sunday in Pittsburgh. Speaking of big games, Nick Saban still hoping to attend Alabama's showdown game tomorrow with Georgia despite testing positive. Saban would need to have three negative tests. The Clippers named Tyronn Lue their new coach. He won the NBA championship with Cleveland 4 years ago. The Van Gundy brothers both may make the move from broadcasting back to coaching. Stan is in talks with New Orleans. Jeff, the former Knicks coach, interviewed with Houston. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Real estate sales in New York City are plummeting, and so is the tax revenue generated with every transaction. Sales of commercial and residential properties, everything from office buildings to individual condos, are down 45% this year through September. That's according to the Real Estate Board of New York. Well, the Trump Organization is thinking about selling its sprawling Westchester, New York estate. Sources tell Dow Jones Trump representatives have had conversations with local brokers about the possibility of a sale after years of unsuccessful development attempts. New Jersey lawmakers seeking to tax high-speed trading have scaled back the proposed fee. It's an effort to overcome some of the opposition from financial firms that have threatened to move their operations out of the state. A revised draft of the bill would impose a temporary tax of 0.01 per trade. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Jeff Pellinger, and on WIOD in Miami, I'm talking about how car buying has changed in Florida and elsewhere because of the pandemic.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for KCBS in San Francisco, I'm reporting that the Cruise self-driving unit at GM will be allowed to test its robo-taxis on San Francisco roads without a safety driver.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the growing risks of a no-deal Brexit as anger grows over lack of compromise on either side.
I'm Courtney Dunhoe on KRLD in Dallas. A plan to sell JCPenney has stalled ahead of the crucial holiday season.
I'm Steve Podisk, and on WFLA Tampa Bay, I'm talking about the University of South Florida closing down its College of Education.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Later this morning, we get another reading on the health of the U.S. consumer. Economists forecast September retail sales increased 0.8%. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
In August, retail sales rose for the fourth month in a row, climbing above pre-pandemic levels. Bloomberg Economics says motor vehicle sales will probably lift today's headline, basing that forecast on recent reports from individual auto manufacturers. Gasoline prices have been stable and probably won't be a major influence on today's data. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, turning from retail sales to the retail investor, a hack attack on the popular Robinhood Markets app was more widespread than previously known. Bloomberg News has learned almost 2,000 accounts were compromised in a hacking spree that siphoned off customer funds. Last week, Robinhood said just a limited number of customers had been hit by cyber criminals. Jack Ma's Ant Group plans to increase the valuation to what would be a record-breaking IPO. Sources tell us Ant's target is now at least $280 billion due to strong demand. Ant hopes to raise about $35 billion in the sale. The company plans to list shares both in Hong Kong and Shanghai on the same day. S&P futures down 3 points at the moment. Dow futures are down 33. NASDAQ futures up, but just by 1 point. 10-year Treasury yield 0.72%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burdenllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe are gaining this morning as a slew of positive corporate news outweighs investor concern about new restrictions to curb the pandemic. U.S. stock index futures, meanwhile, are little changed as investors consider the stalemate over U.S. stimulus. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 2 points. Dow futures down 36. NASDAQ futures up 11. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 0.72%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.25% or 51 cents at $40.45 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $3.50 at $19.12.40 an ounce. The euro, 1.1712 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2938. And the yen is at 105.21. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump and Democrat Joe Biden showed striking differences in dueling televised town halls. Trump defended his administration's handling of the coronavirus. He was evasive when NBC's Savannah Guthrie pressed him about whether he took a required COVID-19 test before his first debate with Biden.
Do you take a test every single day?
No, but I take a lot of tests.
Okay, and you don't know if you took a test the day of the debate?
Possibly I did, possibly I didn't.
Trump refused to denounce the QAnon conspiracy group. Biden on ABC denounced President Trump's handling of the virus.
He said he didn't tell anybody because he was afraid Americans would panic. Americans don't panic. He panicked. He didn't say a word to anybody.
Biden said his pledge to repeal 2017 tax cuts would only apply to the wealthy and that he would leave the middle class cuts untouched. In baseball, the playoffs, the Astros and Braves are winners. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you very much. It is now 5:49 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Professor Wayne
Wendy Schiller of Brown University joins us now, chair of the political science department at Brown. Professor, good as always to have you with us. So instead of a debate last night, we got counter programming. Does this have any impact on the race?
Well, I mean, I think people are voting every single day. We've talked about this, the expansion of early voting. We've seen a lot of long lines in a lot of different states, like particularly this week, we've seen examples from Texas and from Georgia. So every day matters, right? So if somebody watched the town halls last night, decide today is the day I'm going to vote, then it's possible that it swung an independent or undecided voter either way, or it motivated somebody who's really loyal to Trump or somebody who tends to vote Democratic. So I do think every time voters have an opportunity to see one of these candidates for an hour or an hour and a half in the case of Biden, then I think it can shape some votes. But like I said, every day this election is happening. So I don't think it kind of has any long-term effect for November 3rd.
Okay, so based on what we saw, depending on which town hall voters decided to tune into last night, did either of the candidates do anything to change that swing voter's mind?
Well, I think that, you know, I, like other people, you know, just flipped back and forth to watch both of them as best I could. I think that Biden continues to show or refute the idea that he's not coherent, that he's not capable, that he doesn't have a command of the material. You know, he seems on his game, right? I mean, he had very coherent answers to, he was very engaging with the people who are asking him questions. So I think the vibe at the Biden town hall, if you can call it that, was sort of one of, you know, regular voter asking questions of somebody who was answering the questions. Whereas Trump, he did answer the questions in his own way, but it was more a defense of his administration, defense of himself. And Savannah Guthrie, the moderator, you know, really pushed him. So it was a completely different, as if you were watching two different kinds of events when you were watching them.
And you talk about the kind of tone that the presidential candidates are conveying in these types of events. It doesn't sound as though either candidate is really changing their approach in terms of, you know, how they comport themselves in the race and potentially how they would handle the job once installed in the office. So, I mean, at this point in the race, what can either side do to try to shift if they need to?
Well, Nathan, you're pointing out something that's really just a fundamental sort of quality of American elections. We have an incumbent president, right? So somebody who won before is going to use the same style that got him there. I mean, Obama was criticized in 2012 for not being more engaged on the campaign trail until the sort of very end of the election. Same thing, right? Look, I got here. I won. I know how to do this. I'm going to win again. And I think that's what Trump thinks. And he certainly was very fiery. He was very energetic. He reminded people he was very vital. I think he wanted to do that, and he succeeded. And to his followers, they probably liked very much what they saw. For Biden, he hasn't shifted either. You know, he's been criticized for a lot of his style, long-winded answers, et cetera. But this seems to be working for him because at the moment, the answers are appealing to voters. They're sort of commanding policy, and they're saying, oh, I know what I'm doing. I'm a Joe Biden you know. You can trust me. I'll do a good job. And a pretty simple messaging. But if it's working, then, you know, they're not going to shift in the last 2 weeks of the campaign.
Speaking with Wendy Schiller, professor of political science, chair of the political science department at Brown University. In the report Michael Barr presented moments ago, pointing out that the president and Joe Biden both gave sort of evasive answers to questions that have been asked of them in the media multiple times. For the president, about the QAnon conspiracy theory, for Joe Biden about where his position lies on the issue of court packing. Do either of those lack of willingness on either candidate's part to give a firm answer on either of those questions hurt them in any way?
Yeah, I mean, I think for Biden, he said, which is now sort of a campaign explanation, like, I'm not going to talk about doing something, you know, as president. I'm not president yet. So nothing, you know, there's no reason for me to speculate on this. Why would I do that? I'm not, you know, there yet. I don't know how this is all going to play out. And that seems like a decently reasonable answer. He's come closer to saying that he's not a fan of court packing, you know, hinting that he probably won't do it. So that's as far as he's gone. With Trump, it's surprising to me because the white supremacy, his refusal to sort of disavow white supremacy and QAnon is hurting him with independent voters. And they know that in the polling. And I think his advisors tell him that. Listen, this hurts you with suburban voters, particularly suburban women. So just change it. You know, it's easy to do. Just announce it. And he won't do it. And I think that's just, you know, his decision that exactly what got him to the presidency will get him reelected. And there's no moving him off it. But I think it is, from the polling, it is hurting him specifically with demographics that he needs to win the election.
Yeah, we've mentioned a couple of times that the president is behind Joe Biden in opinion polling. And, of course, we have early voting happening in most states now. Are we seeing that dynamic of the president falling behind playing out in terms of how the early vote is going? Do we have any evidence that way?
Well, you know, it's really not it's not good to look at the early voting and saying, oh, more Democrats are voting by mail, more Democratic ballots have been returned. You know, in North Carolina in 2016, it was the case that many more Democratic ballots were returned by mail than Republicans because they take party, they have party registration, and it turned out that, you know, Trump won North Carolina. So I don't think you can sort of predict the winner from this, but I will say that if you look at the map of early voting, in many states, nearly a quarter of the turnout of 2016 has already happened in these states. Literally a quarter of the turnout in 2016, which means a lot of votes are baked in. They're done. And that number is rising exponentially every single day. So this window for Trump to change the momentum, if we can take that from the polls, is closing. So he's got to turn this around somehow. You know, by the end of next week, you're probably going to see 35%, maybe 40% of all votes cast. So by election day, it's possible that 65% of votes are cast. It just gives him very little time to change the narrative and change momentum. And even if only a slice of people are undecided, that still matters for him going into November 3rd. So I don't know how he does that next week, but he's certainly trying. He's doing a lot of rallies. He's doing what Trump does to get make sure his people get out to vote.
And I guess he has another chance, both candidates do, to reach out to voters in the third and final debate coming up in just 6 days. How does this competing town hall event that we saw last night potentially shape how that encounter could go?
Well, first of all, I'm not persuaded that encounter happens. I don't know that Trump decides to do that. And we have to see if he does it. And if he does it, he's going to have to perform better than he did in the first debate. And anybody left on the fence, I think, could be persuaded by that last debate.
In our last minute here, we've seen fundraising totals come out for September, and it does look like Biden has really taken away President Trump's earlier advantage when it comes to fundraising. How could that affect the race?
This is fascinating, Nathan. I mean, the amount of money, you know, somewhere in the $400 million mark, and now it's like $380 million plus or something for Biden. It's just a phenomenal amount of money. Plus, Senate Democrats are raising, you know, astronomical amounts of money. And money matters at the end stage of a campaign. As I said, when there are still people out there who haven't voted yet, you can run a lot more ads and, you know, maybe push those few undecideds to your side. So I think it does matter. And we know that the Trump campaign has pulled out of Michigan. At least they had for campaign ads. And they're not running any ads in Ohio anymore, or they haven't bought new time. So it's kind of a strange strategy for the Trump campaign, and you wonder if that's because they're feeling a cash crunch, and you wonder also if that's not why Trump is getting out on the campaign trail, because he gets free media every time he does a rally. So it could be that they are hurting for money. We know they are, and the question is, will that affect their results in swing states?
Wendy Schiller, chair of the Political Science Department at Brown University, thanks again for being with us this morning on Bloomberg Daybreak. Futures mixed as we head closer to the open. This is Bloomberg.